good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, which is my taxpayer's name. And we talk about Native issues and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And now I just want to say this portion is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. And that just reminds me, we're going to have a guest today, Annalika Allery, with the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and she's going to be talking about some upcoming events. And of course, we have Dr. Stately on Mondays. We talk COVID, and I just have to say this early on is my wife Wendy has COVID, and she's stuck in New York and not feeling very good. So prayers to her. I hope she's out there listening. If she can keep awake, it's a sad deal. And also, I went to see the doctor today, and I got my fourth COVID shot. So I don't, you know, what's going on? We're in the upside down world. But before I get any further here, I want to get to Gina Peltier, who does our news. And you don't hear this news anywhere else. So here's our Native news.
Hey, bonjour, Robert. And hey, Wendy, I can see you in the chat responding and that you're listening, and I really hope you do feel better. Bonjour, everyone. Gina Peltier, Indigenous, Makadewa, Makwa, and Dudum, Anishinaabe, and Dunjiba, Mikanakwa, Ji, Ininiwag. Hello, everyone. I am Gina Peltier. I am Black Bear Clan, and I am an Anishinaabe from the Turtle Mountain Pemina Band of Chippewa. And it's great to be joining you today, Robert, and our listeners out there in Turtle Island and around the world. So it's pretty cool news out there. There was a rare Indigenous eyewitness account of Battle of the Little Bighorn found in Ontario. A Lakota leader's letter and illustration about historic U.S. battle was recently returned to his community. The letter gives an account from the Lakota leader, Standing Bear, who was 17 on June 25th, 1878, when Custer and his troops descended on the Lakota and their Cheyenne relatives who were camping on the Little Bighorn River in Montana. As a victory for us who stood our ground and resisted the forced relocation onto reservations, the anniversary of this battle is a tribally recognized holiday in the United States, with many ceremonies beginning on or ending June 25th. The recognition and understanding that there is value in returning something to the community of origin is positive and inspiring. This Sunday, April 10th at 1 p.m. at the Boundary in Stillwater, Minnesota, there will be a benefit event with live music to support the Line 3 Legal Defense Fund. At this moment, there are 587 known water protector cases currently open and moving through the Minnesota court system relating to Enbridge's toxic tar sands oil pipeline. Defendants are facing absurd charges and still need support. So check out this fun event again this Sunday, April 10th at 1 p.m. at the Boundary in Stillwater, Minnesota. There will be live music and other entertainment going on. So go ahead and find out more or donate at line3legalfund.com/donate. Again, that's line3legalfund.com/donate. And then today in Washington, D.C., supporters of Declare Emergency, a nonviolent civil resistance camp, blocked Highway 395 at the 7th Street Southwest overpass this morning to demand that Biden administration act now to declare a nationwide state of emergency and cease all fossil fuel concessions on federal and indigenous lands. Among the supporters are First Nations people from McGeezy Will Fly from Minnesota, as well as members from Quick Carbon in North Carolina. Reports are that they blocked traffic for at least over 30 minutes and arrests were made, but it is not sure yet of how many. So I guess it really goes to show how important it is that we do need to donate to the Legal Defense Fund. If there are still more arrests happening and there's still more people in the courts, that's quite the battle to fight going into the court system. It's quite scary, especially if you don't know what's going on. And speaking of going into the court, our very own Honor the Earth's Winona LaDuke had her contested omnibus hearing today in Wadena County. In 1855 treaty territory, water protectors came together to stop the drilling under the Shell River. They put their bodies and their freedom on the line. Winona LaDuke and six other women, including a journalist, were arrested. We experienced the worst drought since the Dust Bowl last summer, along with record-breaking heat wave. And Enbridge was not only taking billions of gallons of our water to install this devastating oil pipeline, but they also pierced aquifers, losing hundreds of thousands of gallons of water, and they fracked out into several rivers during construction. It's very apparent water protectors are on the right side of history. So we need to drop the charges against all water protectors. There is an ask to call the Minnesota State Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy and ask them to support the dropping and dismissal of all charges against all water protectors, you know, human beings who were arrested rejecting Line 3. With this particular incident, Winona LaDuke has three charges against her for defending everybody's water. The first charge is a gross misdemeanor trespass on critical public service facilities, pipeline utilities posted. The second charge is for gross misdemeanor trespass on critical public service facilities, pipeline refused to leave upon demand. And charge three is misdemeanor obstruction of legal process interfering with a police officer. And I really want to give a big shout out to Winona LaDuke because she really did bring a lot of attention to this issue. And this isn't the only time she was arrested for Line 3. So getting arrested and going to jail is not fun. And believe me, I was arrested for praying on a bridge over the Mississippi River. You know, who gets arrested for praying? But, you know, Winona's attorney, Frank Bebo, he did a great job with questioning of the witnesses and explaining to the judge that treaty rights guarantee Anishinaabe people the right to hunt, fish, gather medicines and foods, travel, and practice spiritual and religious ceremonies on ceded lands and waters. Also, the White Earth Band named Winona the guardian ad litem of the Shell River. So White Earth basically put her in charge of protecting the Shell River. So she shouldn't be charged for protecting the Shell River. It is just quite crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is upside down world here too. But, you know, and I know you were tased in Washington, D.C. before you were arrested, right?
Yeah. So it was during the October week-long event, People versus Fossil Fuels. And, you know, that started on a Monday. And, you know, by the time Wednesday came around, we saw that, you know, with the organizing of the whole event, you know, it wasn't really making a big statement. So we decided to go ahead and go into the Department of Interior building where they hold the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And they usually let people in to at least the lobby area. You know, we have our totem pole in there. But, you know, they were just not accepting us being in there that day. And I highly suspect it was because we were water protectors. Because usually, like I said, on a regular basis, you can go in there and at least take pictures with the totem pole. And that day, they just weren't having it. So,
yeah. And I remember you talking about it. And just to put a little levity on it, I remember you were talking about it when you came back on our show. And you said it was shocking. And then you also said you were tased. So it was kind of funny because you said it was shocking and you got a shock and you didn't realize you said that, but it was good radio.
We were peaceful. I was just sitting there and they not only tased me, they broke my finger as well. All of us in there are non-violent, you know, unarmed, and we're just trying to protect the water. So it's just quite shocking.
It was quite shocking. Gina, thanks so much for the news. That was awesome. I can't wait to go to Stillwater and check out the concert. Hopefully Wendy will be home and have no COVID then so we can go into Stillsville and check it out in a good way. But Pinigi, thank you. And up next, we have Nahalka Allery with Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Life is a journey, and the Dougherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and by coincidence, we have Angelica Allery, who's, she was clapping with her fingers there. I learned that at the Academy Awards. Yeah, there you go. Cool. Angelica was one of my favorite students of all time, and then she's gone on to be a awesome warrior in her older age here, and she's working on great things, and you have an event that I'd love for you to talk about. Thank you so much, Angelica, for stopping in.
Awesome. Miigwech. Thank you so much. Hi, buju everyone. My name is Angelica Allery. Nibinabe kwe indishnakaz, maingan indudem. My name is Angelica Allery. I'm the membership and outreach coordinator at MUSAC, the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition, and April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so it's April 4th today. And I wanted to share some news. We have, at MUSAC, we have a couple events happening throughout the month, or at all in the past couple years since the pandemic hit. So I want to share some information about that, and then also some information on some webinars that we are hosting throughout the month of April. And awesome. So for those who don't know, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the color that represents sexual violence or sexual violence prevention is the color teal. And so actually tomorrow, April 6th, is considered Action Day, and the sexual violence prevention world. And the first Tuesday of every of April is actually Action Day. And so we encourage community members, survivors, advocates to wear the color teal to represent, ending sexual violence, being there for survivors, and then really just trying to bring awareness to this this ongoing issue that impacts all of our communities, each and every one of us. And so for our annual conference, it is completely free, open to the public. It is virtual. It'll be held over Zoom. And those dates will be April 12th, April 13th and April 14th from 12:30 to 4:30 Central. And so we have some really great, awesome speakers that'll be joining us. I can name a few that we have so far. So we'll be opening up our space with Ty Simpson. We'll also be opening up our second day with Anton Troyer. And then our third day, we'll be opening up with Share Time Wisely. And we have some amazing, awesome, really powerhouse, just awesome people doing great work in the community. We also have Arnold Dahl and Anna Goldtooth, and then also Lissa Yellowbird Chase. And then we will also be having a comedian, Ryan McMahon, I believe is his name. I just wanted to make sure I pronounced that correctly. So we're super excited. Our registration you can find on our website in the events section. You can also find registration on our Facebook page. And our website is www.miwsac.org. And then throughout April, we have this this type of, you know, yearly type of webinar series that we call Webinar Wednesdays. And so our theme for this year is uncomfortable conversations and advocacy. And what that really means is, you know, talking about some conversations that we don't normally talk about, we don't really engage in either the advocacy world or period in general. So April 6th from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central, we'll be talking about family grooming into sex trafficking. We'll be having a guest speaker with us, and then myself and my co-worker Rebecca Baylog will be kind of facilitating that conversation and what that really looks like, and to help bring community in and just talk about this talk about this issue.
Right.
On April 20th from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Again, we'll be talking about children produced by sexual violence. And so we'll have a guest speaker, Eileen Houdon, joining us. And then on April 27th, we'll be talking about healthy sexuality and the intersections of sexual violence. And we'll be bringing Anna Goldtooth in. So it's really exciting. We have quite a few things happening throughout. And this will all be held virtual. And so we're really excited, honored, and really looking forward to what our time together virtually will, you know, will create conversations, create excitement, and pull community members in. And so we're really trying to do a big push as much as we can to get registration, as many people registered. Again, it is totally free. It is April 12th, April 13th, and April 14th from 12:30 to 4:30 Central. Yeah.
Hey, so you're having Arnold Dahl on again, and I was on one of your symposiums a year or so ago, and he is fantastic. He has a great two-spirit angle at this. Really enjoyed what he had to say. You know, one thing, Angelica, too, we have a lot of new people listening, too, and we talk about Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and the great work you do, and you amplify things like, you know, when you go to a powwow or when you see Native women there, one out of three of those young women will be sexually abused in one way or the other, and that's frightening that we have 3 or 2% of the population, but we suffer from that from so many different angles, you know, yeah. Right?
Exactly. And the thing with, you know, statistics is they're not always correct. You know, the data that's collected, especially in tribal communities, rural or, you know, urban, not many people, especially Native folks, trust the systems to be able to, you know, report. And so really, there's a lot more undocumented cases of sexual violence, of, you know, a lot of abuse that's happening within our own communities. So it's really these conversations, this event that we're hosting, it's a great way for people to kind of get involved, you know, entry points into really how do we get to talking about this issue that's impacting all of our communities, and how do we get pull people in, and not just Native people, but this is a human issue. And really, you know, our Native people, our Indigenous people are one of the most that's affected. And, you know, living here in Minnesota, it's only right that we, lead these conversations. And there's amazing work that's happening, not just in Minnesota, but around the country and around the world. So really, we want to amplify these voices, talking about the great work that's already being done, but then building relationships, building awareness, building the tools and the strength to have uncomfortable conversations and advocacy, uncomfortable conversations, period, when we're talking about sexual violence, because it's a true and it's happening all around us, even as I'm speaking right now. So it's hard truth, but
right,
someone's gonna do it. So we're going to step up and we're going to make it happen.
Angelica, I'm so proud of you. Whenever I hear you speak, you've become such a great advocate and a great warrior woman. Really, I'm so proud of you and all the work that you're doing in your organization. Your organization just came up with an anniversary, didn't they? Just a few weeks ago?
Yes, we're officially 20 years old. So we're a young adult, as you could call it. So, but we're getting there. We're building. We're actually hiring new staff. We have, I believe, two new open positions on our website, I believe. So if you're interested in looking for a job or a position with us, we are hiring, I believe, for a Elevate Uplift coordinator. And we are also hiring for a part-time finance manager. So if you're interested, we are definitely looking for applicants. So.
And then can you just give a shout out to your website real quick if people are interested in applying?
Yes, so that is www.miwsac.org.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, Gina, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. So do we got her for one segment or two segments?
One segment.
We're only one. Okay, so quick question. I know on Friday's show, I said that Washington governor implicated a system to where they're going to send kind of like out an Amber Alert, but for Indigenous people. So when Indigenous people go missing and they send out like that alert through all the media and through your phones and stuff like that, do you think that's something that, you know, we could possibly see happen here in Minnesota pretty soon?
That is something that we will for sure. It's definitely a major tool that we should have in all of our tribal nations. Right now, I think that conversation just got brought up internally and, you know, what are we going to do as, you know, the State Tribal Sexual Assault Coalition. So what are we going to do to amplify our tribal voices to implement that program? Because our communities definitely need it. And it's, you know, I live here in the cities. And, you know, I do get the Amber Alerts here and there, but what will that look like in tribal communities? And I think that's a major tool that we need to access and implement. So, you know, within our own organization and throughout our membership, we're going to really try to create that and get that going because it's really much needed.
Yeah. And maybe while we're calling Lieutenant Governor to ask her to drop the charges, maybe we could ask her, you know, as a sister to maybe try and get this started as well, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. And Angelica, we got less than a minute left. Give us the website and those dates of your symposiums. One more time.
Yep. So our website is www.miwsac.org. And again, our conference dates are April 12th, 13th, and 14th from 12:30 to 4:30. And our webinar Wednesdays are April 6th, April 20th, and April 27th from 1:30 to 3 p.m.
Wow. And again, I can't tell you how proud I am knowing you for so many years and remember the drummer that you were and the person that you are. It's just, I guess you're going to get me a shirt too. It looks like there. Thanks, Angelica. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Dr. Anthony Stately. Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Dougherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable 2-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, everybody. I'm Santita Jackson, and I want you and all your friends to join my new show, The Santita Jackson Show, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
It's Patrick again for the carpet and air duct specialists at Zero Res. Did you know that as many as 1 in 5 Americans suffer from allergies caused by particles found inside your home? Indoor air quality is an issue all year long, but especially now that April showers will bring May flowers full of pollen and other irritants out of hibernation and into your home. If you or your family struggle with allergies or asthma and you want cleaner, healthier air, Zero Res can help. Now through April, Zero Res is offering 3 rooms starting at $139, plus get $75 off those air ducts too. Just ask for the AM 950 special. Call 952-ZERO-RES today or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com to schedule your appointment anytime. Zero Res is also offering $500 off select Mohawk flooring styles, free financing, and free cleaning 1 year after installation through Z Floors. Backward or forward, spells the same, Zero Res.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 37, Tuesday rain with a high near 49, and Wednesday rain with a high near 50. Hazel's Northeast has some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find for any meal of the day. Favorites include the Drunken Banana French Toast, Buttermilk Fried Chicken Sandwich, and Swedish Meatballs. Open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 8 to 8 with a Sunday brunch from 8 until 2. Located off 29th and Johnson, more at hazelsnetogo.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Dr. Stately, I don't know, you are the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here, and I don't know if you were listening to the earlier in the show, but Wendy's stuck in New York, and she has COVID.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's a bummer in many ways here, but the obvious way is I miss my honey, and she's feeling better as the day goes on. But you know, the other side of it is I went in for a physical today and I got my 4th shot. So I mean, Nice. It's just, it's crazy. It's still crazy. What's going on? And by the way, welcome. Thank you as always for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, first of all, you know, prayers to your beautiful wife and our co-host and our discussant in here. We miss her. I hope she's on the mend and she continues to take good care of herself and get some rest. Is she having mild symptoms or just kind of general malaise?
It was like a heavy duty cold, and she just said, "I'm so bummed." But it was like she got up not feeling good at 6 a.m. And if you know Wendy at all, 6 a.m. is not her jam. It's more like noon in the morning when she gets up. She got up not feeling well, and then she took one of those COVID rapid tests, and she is not feeling good. But I talked to her just before the show, and she's feeling a little better. But so it's almost like cold-like symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are having similar experiences in the sense that, it is said that widely for many people, they experience it as a really heavy duty cold or like a flu, right? Some of them are having gastrointestinal issues as well, meaning like, upset stomach, chronic diarrhea, those kinds of things. And I think one of the things I would say is, it's going to hit everybody a little bit differently, kind of depending on whether you've been vaccinated and got your full series or not. Also, whether or not you have some pre-existing health conditions that might make you a little bit more prone to more serious outcomes, right? So just tell her, she's a physician. She's a doctor of pharmacy. She knows what to look out for, I think. So, but just let her know that I'm praying for her and my family is thinking about her, and I hope she gets home safe. There are worse places to be stuck though than New York City. So,
well, and she's not in the city. She's in Long Beach, and I don't know if you saw how big, but she's on the line right here now. I wonder if we should just give her a hello, Wendy. Come in, Wendy.
Hi.
Oh yeah, you do sound ill.
Yeah. So thankfully I feel like I have mild symptoms. I'm really happy that I'm vaccinated and boosted. This morning it was probably the worst. I had really bad, fever, body aches, chills, headache, throbbing head. Even my ears felt like they had a heartbeat in them. I've been taking ibuprofen and I'm feeling better. I'm feeling a little bit better. Yeah. Still really tired, but I just think, I'm happy to be vaccinated and boosted, because I think if I wasn't, I think my symptoms would be a lot worse.
Yeah. I hope that you're resting and getting some good nutrition as well. That will be really helpful. So,
yeah, I am getting good nutrition. I was supposed to come home today. And so yesterday I ate most of the food that I had here. So I had a call, and I'm having more food delivered because I ate it all yesterday, thinking that I was, getting on the plane today. But, it really gets me to think, like, if I didn't feel as bad as I did this morning, I probably wouldn't have taken the COVID test and I would have gotten on the plane. So I can't even imagine, just thinking about that, like how many people are actually, moving and grooving out there, who are actually positive and,
not thinking like, oh, I'm okay, I don't have to take a test.
Right.
That's a good, very good, valid point. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I guess airlines are not requiring people to test before they fly anymore, or is it kind of based on each airline? I'm not really sure. I don't know the answer to that question.
Going back and forth to New York, they don't require any negative tests. So
yeah, I'm going home with my children to South Dakota for to visit their family in a couple weeks for Easter. And, the last time we were there, which was for a funeral, seems like that's all I really traveled for over the last couple of years. I'm anxious about getting the fourth vaccine before the fourth booster, like the fourth shot before I travel. I don't really want to be like in an environment where I'm going to be around a whole bunch of people and not know their status and not like, you know, I'm not going to carry extra tests with me and, you know, force everybody to test. That just seems a little over the top. But although I wish I could, like, just hold them down and force them to test, right? Like,
wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to see me before you walk in the door, you must take this test and then call me in 10 minutes.
I was just so happy. I was at the doctor after Wendy's information and just for my regular checkup and they just asked me if I wanted it. And I was like, yeah, heck yeah. And so
did you take a rapid test to see if you were had any antigens before taking the booster?
No, I didn't. I've been home for over a week and I was going to say too, Dr. Stately, I went to a powwow this weekend at Harding High School to see some old students, and it was a lot of people there. I was really pleasantly surprised, but 99% were masked up, and they weren't letting people in unless they were wearing a mask. So that was a good medicine there.
Yeah, that's good. I was at a couple events over the weekend too, and they were like, "Can't come in without a mask." I took my cat to the vet this morning to get his pre-op for his surgery tomorrow, and they will I love their mask warnings on the outside of the door, and then all throughout their exam rooms, it was like masks required, and in parentheses it said still, and it said yeah, still, and then it said we're a medical facility, we require that, but
Dr. Stately, before we get any too further, Wendy, I know you're not feeling good, but I appreciated you stopping in, and we love you, and a lot of people are saying that. I just didn't want to leave you on the lurch there, Wendy.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling.
No problem.
Thank you very much. We'll all be praying for you.
Love you.
Hi, Joni. Oh, hi, Joni. She pulled out some ho-chunk there, right? Huh? And that's
all right. But, there you go.
That's my girl. Yeah, sorry, Dr. Stately, go ahead. But you were
it's good that, like, you know, some places independently of like the jurisdiction, the city or the county or those kinds of whatever jurisdiction they sort of operate under, that has sort of like the ability to sort of like require them to do certain things, even though those mandates might have been lifted, folks are still practicing good judgment in situations where there's a lot of people. They require them to wear masks, which is kind of nice. I walked into the vet not wearing a mask, and they were like, and they stopped me. They're like, "Oh, the sign, masks are required." And I gladly put one on, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I don't mind wearing a mask at all, and sometimes in the cold weather it feels good too, but everyone can recognize me, and I don't know if it's my big schnoz or what the heck, but I can't tell who anybody is with their mask on, but they all know who I am. What is the deal, Dr. Stately?
Facial recognition. They might have facial recognition software just for you on their phone.
Yeah, no, it's that bulging nose that shooting through the mask, I think. And I guess I stand funny too. I don't know.
Well, you are, you have a unique look about yourself. So.
Oh, thank you. That was a very kind way to say that. Yeah.
Every single one of us does, quite frankly.
If the shoe fits. Oh, Nina says.
Yeah, whenever I see you out at the camps, you always have that red bandana on. So that's how I always easily pick you out, Robert. Like, oh, there he is. He's got that red bandana on.
That 70s AIM look going, Dr. Stately.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, whole wounded knee, about to raid kind of look. But you also have a really distinctive voice, right? Like, I remember, like, when I saw you at the powwow, the UNM powwow, my partner was like, "Is that guy on the radio? Like, it sounds like his voice." And I said, "Yep, that's the guy on the radio."
Yeah, it is a distinct voice. That was when we first came on, people were recognizing my voice, which really,
you know, you go, nobody's like listening to my show here. And then you find out there's a lot of people listening. And now we got probably 250,000 people listening to us every week.
Wow, that's pretty impressive there, Mr. Pilot.
Well, and we're on a whole bunch of different stations and different venues, but it's only because, in all seriousness, of great content like you. Because if it was just up to me, and I would be the king of ums, and I'd be just umming for a whole hour, and people would change the channel, right?
Yeah, me too. I actually, I've done a lot of public speaking. This is uniquely easier to manage for me than like conferences or keynotes and stuff like that. That's where I say a lot of ums and likes kind of thing. But just having a conference, it's like we're sitting in my living room or here. I'm perched on the end of my chair because my cat is like forcing me off the chair.
He won't move. I think what's fun about our show, and I hope it never changes, is that we are just a conversation, you know. Just a laid-back conversation. It's a lot different than what you hear out there, and I think it works, or it has been working. And that what that means for me though is less prep. You do all the work, and I just say, "And here's Dr. Stately," and then I just sit back and mute my mic.
I never thought of it that way. Actually, I need to probably talk to you about my compensation.
We'll be right back with Dr. Stately after this short break. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Hauling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh!
Good job, Gina.
Thanks.
That was like some serious howling.
Gina's bought into it, Dr. Stately. Gina's bought into it. It's great. Great addition.
Well, yeah, I practice with my dogs every day. We howl together. It's practice, guys. Not natural.
That's awesome.
It's been awesome. Hey, Dr. Stately, I don't know how deep we want to get into this, but I hear there's another variant and it's coming at us, and it's got some weird stuff like Delta and other things added onto it. I don't know. Have you heard anything?
Well, today, well, I'm on spring break right now with my kids, and so I didn't like go to my typical meetings that I usually go to with the state and updates and such. And I'll be honest and say that I also haven't read the literature that's been sent to my inbox. I do watch the news and I watch some other stuff and I've read some things online.
You listen to NPR, I hear too sometimes.
Well, you know, and other news outlets as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it doesn't surprise me that this is the situation in which we are. And I think we talked about this last week, which is like we're likely to find ourselves having this wave and successive waves of variants. Until we sort of kind of reach, like, really, quite frankly, this is the nature of a global-wide pandemic, quite frankly, which is like, you know, until we collectively try to get developing countries vaccinated to a level that's of 50 or 60%, that'll be a challenge because that's the breeding ground for new variants. And of course, you know, like, you know, we're a global world now. We're so connected because people travel and, you know, we're international sort of like, you know, destination and people are, with the exception of Russia. And we don't know, like, right? Like you just described how, like, you know, you were just in New York, you came home a few days ago. Wendy stayed back and, you know, we don't know when she got ill or when she was exposed, those kinds of things. And I think those are just conditions in which we're sort of kind of be living in, I think. But what we do know overwhelmingly is that people who are fully vaccinated and boosted, if they have the medical criteria to be boosted because they're over a certain age and they have medical issues that might make them more vulnerable, they are much better off if they're completely vaccinated. They're much less likely to get seriously ill. They're much more likely to have conditions like your wife. Where it feels like a common cold, maybe a little common cold on steroids a little bit. And she'll feel malaise and tired and a few other things and kind of crappy for several days. And then she'll feel better. That's not the condition for, that likely is not to be the situation for people who are unvaccinated. They may be sicker longer. We also don't know the results of COVID. Long hauling COVID, right? The impact that it has on people's systems, right?
And it's fair to say it's different for everyone, right? Isn't that what I mean, and I don't know if you know this, Gina, but Dr. Stately, before there was a vaccine, before anything, was sick and was hospitalized and on a ventilator. And here he is. And so it was scary. It was definitely scary.
Yeah, I just had to do it over the weekend. We were shooting vaccine content and ads and things like that for the clinic. And I had to sit and do an interview with another news organization, remain unnamed. But they asked me that question, like, what motivated you to get vaccinated? I was like, man, as soon as it was available, I ran and got it. Like, because I did not want to go through that experience ever again. I did not want to be separated from my children, my family. I did not want to be in a hospital. I didn't want to have any of the, and, you know, and it was frightful. So I'll do whatever I need to avoid that experience again. I won't do that.
You won't drink bleach? Is that what you said?
I won't drink bleach. No. Yeah. That's a ridiculous idea.
Well, I think too, one of the things that's, we have a short memory in how the same period that you were in the hospital, how our elders were dying, how we couldn't visit them when they were sick, and how traumatic that really was. I think we forget about that because we want to get out without our masks on and talk to people and really close to them.
For sure. It's similar to like the way that people, I think, I'm sure people felt this way today in the Midwest. I don't know what the weather is like in other conditions where people are listening to, but here in Minnesota and specifically in the Twin Cities, it was a beautiful day. Like, you know, 12 hours ago last night, it was like snowing and sleeting. And I was like, you know, we had that moment where it was like, I think, really good weather. And then all of a sudden here it's back. And I was like, winter again? It's April 4th, you know?
Yeah. And
so like you, like, but we all do that. I think that's a human tendency at times to sort of kind of like take a deep sigh, kind of release a little bit because we've been holding on for so long and we let go. And then we're like, and then we're shocked and surprised when it comes back around. But that's kind of the nature of this pandemic, which is the same nature of the cycles of other things, which they come around, comes around. And, you know, the best job is to be prepared for it. The best way to manage it is to be prepared for it.
I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but I watched a documentary on the 1918 Spanish flu. And yeah. it was on NPR's father station, TPT. Mm-hmm. And I did not realize this. It just disappeared. After 2 years of killing millions of people, it disappeared. Well,
it disappeared because it ran out of the ability to transmit and mutate and find new hosts. Right. Mm-hmm. We lived in a different world and in a different time. There were much less people, but a significant number of people in the world died from the Spanish flu. It was like probably the biggest sort of like impact on our world. And in some countries, people lost like 80% of their population. Yeah. We don't want to get to that situation. With this situation, we have a much more populated world now. So to think that it's going to die off is probably not a good.
Well, there's so many different variants too. And I think there was only, I don't know. Was there only one variant for the Spanish flu, right?
It didn't mutate. There was no mutations involved. So the thing that, you know, here we are like a decade, I mean, 100 years or so later, and the viruses look differently. You know, some viruses are very intelligent, very smart. They can transmutate very rapidly. They are able to sort of like, you know, what it tells me is that, you know, that the world we live in, seen and unseen, and this virus is unseen, right? That there's things that have more intelligence than we give them credit for, right? Mm-hmm. People talk about this as being an intelligent virus, meaning it can circumvent and find ways to go around the things that the technologies that we developed, the vaccines, with enough time, right? And so part of that is recognizing that, you know, I know that's unsettling to a lot of human beings because we think that we're the most intelligent thing on the planet. Right. And we think that anything that's not us is beneath us, right? And things like this are great experiences for us to have. It's a way for Creator to teach us, like, you're not the center of the universe. You're not the center of all things, right?
Exactly.
Remember your place. So.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Stately, thank you so much for being on as always. Gina, thank you for the news. And Helica, thanks for coming on and talking about the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and what's happening there. I want to give a special shout out to Wendy. Get better. I need you. The house is trashed. I got to get a cleaning person in here quick. But
you're probably eating crackers
in bed. Hey, we'll be right back. Native Roots Radio. See you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.